Welcome and thanks for listening to this podcast by Christ United. For more information about our church, visit christislove.org.
We're in the last of a series called The Principle of the Path. Dig in on it if you haven't. It's really life-changing. We've learned so far this first truth, that it is direction, not intention or expectation, that determines your destination. And so no matter how high your expectations, no matter how good your intentions, the only thing that determines your destination is the path you're on. It is direction that determines destination. And therefore, we learn that we have this temptation to be choosing the shortcuts and ignoring the warning signs because we have a heart that really wants to feel good now. We want what's going to make me happy now. And so in our hearts, we generally make decisions that lead us down certain paths. And then our minds just become instruments of self-deception. We rationalize and spiritualize our decisions until we feel like we've got good reason for why we're doing what we're doing. But the real reason we're doing what we're doing is because we feel like it's going to make us happy. And we feel like it's going to bring us what we're looking for. And so we then learned that the only way for God to actually bring about change in our life is actually to search our hearts, because the real reasons for what we do are usually found there instead of in our heads. And then we said we needed to ask God to change our hearts, because until God changes my heart, nobody's going to change my mind. I'll be able to continue to do whatever it is that I have set in my heart already to do. And so we learned that if we trust in Him with all our heart and don't lean on our own understanding, if in all our ways we were to submit to Him, He would make our path straight into everything that we were created for. And we learned the reason that we can trust Him in that way is because He loves us more than we love ourselves. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Only He knows what we were created for and what's going to bring us that fulfillment for which we were created. And so He's saying, trust me. And then we said, if we trust Him every day, we're going to be asking for His direction. We're going to be opening up the map of His Word and asking Him to show us where we are and give us the next steps to take to follow into the best that He has for us. And every day, we're going to be learning from people who have been down the right paths and walking with people who are walking on the right paths. And every day, we're going to be accessing His Spirit, His global positioning system, His God positioning system, the Holy Spirit, that we would say, God, would You come into my heart and guide me? And every day I'm going to follow You. So we learned all that. And so it kind of brought us to this place of being in a place where it's like, man, it's my direction that's determining my destination, and I'm on that path because I've taken shortcuts, and I've been in this place where my heart made decisions and I kind of rationalized those. But now I need You, God, and I want You to begin directing my path. So why do we even need another sermon? Well, it's kind of like having been through driver's ed and you've already read the manual, but now it's time to actually drive. And as you're actually driving and as actually starting into this life that God has called us to live, there's one thing that you tell a kid when he first gets behind the wheel or she first gets behind the wheel is what? Pay attention. You pay attention to the road. You got to make sure that you pay attention to what's ahead of you. Don't let yourself be distracted, because if you let your attention be given to the car that's approaching you, you'll drift in the direction of what has your attention, right? And if you're passing a car, don't look at that car, because you're going to drift in the direction of your attention. And so we learn this principle then, and it stands true in life in general, and that is that attention determines direction. Wherever your attention is, that's the direction you're going to end up going in your life. And that in turn, it's what determines your destination. So this is the principle of the path in a nutshell. Attention determines direction and ultimately your destination. So what I have my attention on is of paramount importance. And so right now we could just quit and just say, hey, keep your eyes on the road to life, do the right thing. You know what I'm saying? We just give your attention to what's important. But here's the problem. The reason that that's not as easily done as said is that there are lots of distractions. How many people know that there are things that just capture your attention? You aren't wanting to give your attention to them, but they're there and they pop up. You know, sometimes literally pop up on your screen. They're around you and they capture your attention. Some of you are driving something that captured your attention. You're still making payments on something that captured your attention. You may be living in something that captured your attention. You may be living with someone who captured your attention. That's how it was for me. When Julie captured my attention, I mean, it changed everything. It changed my total direction. I didn't drift in another direction. I put on the blinker, slammed on brakes, and turned in another direction, right? And I'm like, I'm going to follow her, you know, because she has my attention. And that was a good change of direction. But how many people have ever had something in your life that you're thinking, you know, that distraction, that thing that caused me to change direction, I wish I had never seen it. Do you know people you wish you had never met? Do you know images you wish you had never seen? Do you know purchases you wish you had never made? Do you know some business deals you wish you had ignored? And generally, we've been on a better path. And then as we're on this good path, all of a sudden something captures or grabs our attention. And we say initially like, oh, I don't need to go there. You know what I'm saying? But then we think, well, maybe it wouldn't hurt to go there just a little while, you know? And I'm just going to pull over here and I'm just going to give my attention to it a little while. I'm just going to enjoy giving it attention. I'm not actually intending to engage it, whether it's the new car or the new girl or whatever it is. I'm not intending to. But what happens is pretty soon it has captured my attention. And once it begins to capture my attention, then I go into the rationalization and spiritualization. And I've convinced myself that this is God's best for me. And before you know it, my direction has changed, right? And it impacts you greatly. So I want to ask you this question. What has captured your attention? What has captured your attention? And it may be some tempting things that have captured your attention. Like tempting stuff. I mean, the reality is that, man, we have advertisements and images that are intended to draw our attention and capture our attention. And you see it and you say, man, I would love to own that. Or wear that, or drive that, or live in that. Because I feel like if I owned that, or wore that, or drove that, or lived in that, if I did, then my life would be so much, I would just feel fulfilled. It would just feel so good to wear that thing, or to drive that thing, or to have that thing. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And once it has captured your attention, then it has your attention. For at least 48 months, it has your attention, right? And sometimes for the next 30 years, it has your attention. And sometimes you swipe that card and that bill has your attention years after that dress is out of style because it captures fully our attention. And very often the things, the stuff that captures our attention is stuff that really does not add value to our life. It's such a deception. And so we're told in Luke chapter 16, verse 15, that what is highly valued among people, what people value highly, is detestable in God's sight. Why? Because he says, man, it's not going to add any value to your life. It's going to be a trap for you. It's going to suck the life out of you. How many people know what it is? That so much of your attention right now is devoted to working to pay for the things that captured your attention. And some of you are saying, yeah, but my goal is to be independently wealthy so that I don't have to have my attention on paying bills. That itself is a temptation and a trap that plunges people into ruin and destruction. Some people, for that goal, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. Now, here's the thing. He's just saying, look, watch out. Because how many people here would just say, what's captured my attention is some tempting things and that is tempting stuff. And it has so much of my attention right now that I'm not able to give my attention to things that matter far more. And it might not be stuff. The things might be people. Because not only do advertisers try to get your attention, there are people who dress to get your attention. And they say things to get your attention. And they write things to get your attention. And once they have captured your attention, Solomon says that it's like leading you down a path toward death. That it's sweet as honey in the beginning, but at the end it's bitter as gall. It can be so bad. And he says this in chapter 5, verse 8 of the book of Proverbs. He says, you take a path, stay to a path far from her. Don't go near the door of her house. If there's somebody that's kind of grabbing your attention, and you know it shouldn't be. Right now, honest to God, is there somebody in your life who has your attention that shouldn't have your attention? Whether that's at work, at school, if it's on the internet, if it's, texting or whatever. Is there somebody? Is there somebody that has your attention right now that if it were to become public how much of your attention they have, it would be an embarrassment to you or worse? Is there a chance that right now somebody has your attention in such a way that it divides your attention from your family? Attention that should be going to your wife or your kids is going to this person instead. Dividing your attention even at work and at church, you're consumed by it. or them. Now, sometimes it's not stuff or a person. Sometimes it's a substance, you know, or it's a place, or it's this thing that you're lured into. And you might have a substance right now that's like the one described in Proverbs 23, verse 35, where he says somebody has become so captured by this one's alcohol that they're thinking, when will I wake up so that I can find another drink? And so right now, listen, you know who you are. And you've been in denial about it, but you know this, by lunchtime, you're thinking about the nightcap. And all you can think about is, man, I'm going to feel so much better. I'm going to feel so much better as soon as I get that. Is there a substance that's captured your attention and it holds on to it? But here's the thing. The writer of Psalm 119 in verse 37, he says this, turn my eyes away from worthless things. Turn my eyes is a metaphor in Scripture for turning your attention away. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Anybody here got some worthless things you need your eyes turned away from? And when we say worthless things, we're thinking things of very little value. There's so many trivial things that have so much of our attention. Social media, for instance. How many people have ever noticed how much attention this thing gets? And the reality is that the attention that it gets is responsible for 6,000 deaths a year. It's responsible for 500,000 injuries a year. It's responsible for 1,600,000 accidents every year because people are what? My attention is distracted. But here's the thing, is that's just in the automobile world. In the other parts of the world, it's far worse. The number of tragic destructions of marriage and relationships and people's relationships with God and others just being devastated because this captures my attention. Let me tell you about this. This captures your attention. It has urgency. Trivial things have urgency. When you hear the text message, bing, go off, I've got to see. I mean, you just don't know what it is, but you got to see it, right? And as soon as I got to see it, then I got to respond to it. If I don't respond to it, they'll think something's wrong, and I got to respond to it. And there's something that just drags you in with social media. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's like, I've just got to do it, and I got to do it now. And the reality is it's not. Not just here, it's on your computer, it's in every aspect. And it's also media of entertainment. It's like, it's trivial, but it captures your attention. And here's the thing, is once it captures your attention, there are all kinds of things that you know you should be paying attention to, but these have captured your attention to the point that you're just putting those other things off. What are you putting off while your attention is being given to trivial things? Is it something like your education, or is it your health? Or maybe getting out of debt, or maybe being in a place where it's taking your attention away from your wife or your husband or your parents or your children. And it's like, oh God, here's what's happening is trivial things have captured my attention to the point that I'm putting off the things that really matter. How about my relationship with God? And how about growing in Him and growing strong in Him and learning His Word and moving forward? How many of you are putting that off? And what really is capturing your attention is trivial. And trivial, I'm not talking about something that always seems trivial. Sometimes it seems really important. Something that was really important to me when I was growing up, when I was a kid, starting when I was a little boy, was duck hunting. Duck hunting was important to me. It really was. And it wasn't trivial. It was a pursuit, a very important pursuit. And I can remember all the time, get up 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, work hard, do it. You know, you just learn more and more about it, read more about it, talk more about it, learn how to blow a duck call. You want me to, I'm going to blow a duck call for you. It's been about 30 years, but it's backwards. Here we go. It's been a long time. Hold it. Anybody impressed? I was so proud of me. I could blow a duck call. And I honestly felt this feeling like, this is important. I don't think the guy's a Christian. His name's Ogden Nash. He's a poet. And he wrote this poem, and it was read when I was in the early years of high school. And when this poem was read in our class, it really hit me. And here's the poem. It's called The Hunter. You ever heard it? It's cool. It says, the hunter crouches in his blind, neath camouflage of every kind, and conjures up a quacking noise to lend a lure to his decoy. This grown-up man with pluck and luck is hoping to outwit a duck. Is that awesome? I hated it. I was like, Ogden Nash is never, he's not a real man. He doesn't hunt. You know, I'm just like, there's something wrong. But as I start thinking about this, I'm going, my God, you mean really right now I probably got $10,000 worth of stuff that I'm working my behind off to pay for to chase and try to outwit ducks? I am an idiot, you know. But for you, regardless of the size of the animal or regardless of what it is that you're pursuing, we all have that tendency to trivial things become important things. And let me give you another example of that. That. Have you ever thought about that? How many times do I have to whack this before I get it in the cup? Oh. And if I can study real hard and work real hard and practice real hard and talk about it a lot and everything else, I can get it there in three less whacks. Oh, that's meaning. That's purpose. Reality is, it's trivial, is it not? It's trivial. You go, you're kidding me, you know? But here's reality. It doesn't matter whether it's a little ball or a big ball. It might be, you know, it might not be playing. It might be watching it. But you and I can become so much of our attention can be garnished towards something like that, we fail to recognize how really trivial it is. I just want to ask you a question. Think about the amount of time you spend talking about it, thinking about it, practicing it. I mean, I would get up to go hunting at 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, but I never had time to do devotions. Yeah. Oh, no, I ain't got time to do that, you know. Just don't have time. But I got time. How much time, if you took that same amount of time, that same amount of effort, that same amount of energy, that same amount of focus, and invested it in your wife, if you were to invest that same amount of time and energy and focus into your kids, if you were to invest that same amount of time and energy and focus into God, what would the difference be? And I just want to ask you, is there something in your life, some hobby, it doesn't have to be any of the balls, it doesn't have to be any of the sports in that way, but is there some hobby that at one time occupied just a small part of your life and it was a little expense and now it's a major line item in your budget? You put a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of thought, a lot of effort into it, and all of a sudden you begin to realize, wow, something very trivial has become extremely important to me. Is there something that you love that's actually getting in the way of the people you love? Is there something that you love that's actually competing for your attention to the God that you say you love? And so you may have trivial things that have captured your attention. You also may have some, that's trivial things, you can fill that in. You also may have important things that have captured your attention. We were sharing this as in our, we preview these messages every week, and one of the ladies in the preview said, you know, Jeff, she said, I spent my whole life, my whole married life, giving my attention to really important things. They were big things, important things. She said, but they weren't as important as my marriage, and I didn't realize that. And I was giving my attention to those things instead of my marriage. And then she said, I hope it's not too late for me to make up for where I failed to put the attention. Does anybody know this reality that sometimes important things get in the way of truly vital things? Of the most important things. And so it might be your education, it might be your job, it might be your business, it might be your exercise, but whatever it is that's getting in the way of what you should be and could be investing in your relationship with your family, in your relationship with God, and other things. And sometimes those things are even things that involve our families, that again, something that's relatively important is not near as important as what you're missing. If you've got a kid who plays ball, it's important for you to kind of build that skill in them and let them develop all that's done through athletics. It's really cool. They might get a scholarship to a college one day. That would be awesome, you know? But the reality is that you're spending so much time playing travel ball and investing in that and helping them to be the best ball player they can possibly be, which won't matter a hill of beans in another 15 years. But you're doing nothing to prepare them for what will matter for eternity. Yeah, you might be interested and you're passionate about getting them into a college, but you're doing nothing to get them into heaven. And you're going like, but God, it's important. But he's saying, but it's not as important as what it is that's supplanted by it. You are taking this approach that takes important things and puts them in front of vital, crucial, most important things. And so I just ask you to consider this. What are the things that have captured your attention? And if you don't know what they are, has somebody else been telling you? Has somebody been saying, man, you've been spending a lot of time with so-and-so? Are they calling you again? Why are they calling you? Why don't you just send that message to them? Or maybe somebody saying, don't you think you have enough of those? Or somebody says, wait a minute, you mean you purchased that? And people are noticing that your attention is going to something other. And kids and teenagers recognize this in a huge way, that parents overreact because they see your attention going to things. You know what I'm saying? Like parents are like all you're doing is talking to a friend, and they see the friend you're talking to and they go, "Are you talking to them?" And you go, "Mom!" You know, it's like, nah, that's her. But here's reality. The reason parents so overreact when they see you making decisions and they see your attention, focus, and directions is they know that that attention will determine the direction, and that direction will determine the destination. And so we feel they are overreacting. In reality, they're reacting on the level of importance that's really there, because your attention determines your direction. Your direction will determine your destination. And so is there anybody right now who's calling things to mind for you and saying, there's some stuff that's getting too much of your attention? And you might even do as Steve Kipe suggested. He said, man, why don't we just encourage them to ask somebody they love, is there anything that you see that's getting too much of my attention right now, that's taking my attention away from things that matter? I guarantee you they are waiting to share some of those things with you. But you better be ready to receive them, right? But God, is there stuff that's gathering my attention? So here's what we need to do, and it's pretty simple, it seems, and that's this, is we need to pay careful attention to what matters the most. Everybody agree? I need to pay careful attention to what matters most. The people of Israel had been brought out of slavery in Egypt. They were getting ready to go into the promised land, much like the United States, just so much more than what they needed, blessed beyond imagination. They were getting ready to go in, but here was the problem. They were going to go into this inheritance of all this wonderful stuff around them, but they were going to be surrounded by people who had the priorities all wrong, who worshiped pagan gods, had all kinds of practices that took them off into loving and having attention to things they didn't need to have. All kinds of people on wrong paths. And so God had said, before they started into that promised land, he said, I gave them commands and laws and gave them direction to focus on so that they wouldn't have their attention drawn to worthless things. And so here's what he said. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 12. He said, if you pay attention to my laws and are careful, and that's careful, and careful to follow them, Not just to pay attention to them, but actually put them into practice. Then the Lord your God will keep the covenant of love that he promised to you. And so he's saying, the Lord your God is going to keep this covenant of love with you. All you got to do is keep your focus. Can anybody understand this? Get this. How important was it that God was saying to them, I'm going to bless you so much, but you've got to keep your attention off of worthless things that will take you off into painful places. And so I want you to focus and pay attention to these laws, to these things I'm giving you, so that you stay on the right path. That seems like simple enough. But how many people know that they couldn't do it? Their attention was always being distracted onto the wrong things. They constantly regretted not paying more attention to what God had said, pay attention to. Anybody here besides me identify with that? It's like, God, I know what I'm supposed to be paying attention to, but why is it so hard to? Here's why. Because when I say pay attention to those things, it feels like, I know I should, but I don't want to. When you say pay attention, pay attention is like paying implies a price, right? I got to pay for that. It's going to cost me something to pay attention. If you pay attention to something, that means there's going to be a cost to that. There are other things you're not going to be able to pay attention to. There are other things you're not going to be able to experience. You're going to have to give up other things to pay attention to these things. And if you're like me, all I could think was, dude, if I pay attention to that, I'm going to have to give up all this, and I don't want to give it all up. It's the reason that when I was a kid, I didn't want to pay attention to my studies, because if I paid attention to my studies, then that meant I wasn't going to be able to pay attention to some things athletically and some things socially and some things entertainment-wise. I wasn't going to be able to give my attention to those things. It was going to cost too much, and so therefore I didn't. And the reason I didn't pay more attention to my teenage children and wished I had, and oh God, why wasn't I paying more attention, staying up late and just hearing their stories as they came in? Well, because I got to get bed early, because I got to get up early, because I got work to do, and I got important things that made it so it was too high of a price to pay to stay up until 11 o'clock to talk to my children when they came. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's a price to pay, and we don't want to pay the price. And here's the reality, is that if you're going to get your focus on one thing, it's going to cost regardless of what you're focusing on. There's a guy, his name's Bill Green, but Bill Green wrote a book called Think Like a Tycoon back in the late 70s. I read his book. It was back before I came to a relationship with Christ, and I was like, man, I want what he's got, because how to get rich in real estate and taxes. Man, this is awesome, you know? And he's going to teach us how to be a tycoon, so think like a tycoon. I remember in his book, as I was reading along, he said this. He said, to be a tycoon, to actually achieve your goals financially and have financial independence and have all the stuff and all this stuff that's just distractions, he said, you're going to need to give it attention, and that's going to mean some things you don't give attention to, like, for instance, soccer. For your kids. He was honest enough to say that. You're not going to be at your kids' soccer games. You're not going to be doing some of those other things because you're on something more important, which is becoming a tycoon. And then he even mentioned religion. He said, oh yeah, the whole God thing, that's all right. Enough of it. Do a little meditation so you can kind of feel good. But don't you dare get real serious about God, because if you do, it's going to take your attention away from your primary goal, which is being a tycoon. Now, old Billy went to jail for tax evasion, but the reality... He really did. But here's the thing, is that as we do this, as we get our focus, the reality is it does cost us. Jesus actually said, Luke 14:33, he said, anyone who does not give up everything they have cannot be my disciple. He's saying it's that serious. He's saying, look, I'm telling you, it's going to cost you, because if you're going to focus on me, that means there's going to be a lot of other things you're not focused on. I want your full attention. I want you to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. And y'all, when I heard that, I was like, nah, maybe when I get to be 70. When I'm 70, I'll follow him with all my heart. I'll be too old to have sex. I'll be in a place where I've already made my money. You know what I'm saying? And every 70-year-old is going, darn. Nah. I just felt like, God, I'm going to be in this place where then, but now... There's too much for me to give up. And like I shared with y'all a few weeks ago, I honestly believe that I wouldn't be able to have, you know, of course my Jeep and my boat and all that kind of stuff is gone. Forget about living in a nice house. Forget about all that stuff. It's like God would just, he would have me riding that bicycle, living in that hut. He would just have me miserable, you know? And that reality is so true for so many. And so we learn this reality, and it's this. It's so important to get this, is that the reason we don't pay attention to what truly matters most is that it feels like too high of a cost, because there's too much for me to give up to pay that much attention to my children, to my wife, to my parents, to my God, to what really matters. And so I'll wait and pay attention to that after I paid attention to some other things. And you know why? Because we don't trust him. I don't trust him that if I focus my attention on him, that what he's going to do is actually take me into all the things that he would have for me. And that I would actually find in that all the adventure and all the beauty and all the wonder and all the great things in him, to find it in him. And so we learned that it's really a heart issue. It's for me to trust in him with all my heart. I got to believe he loves me more than I love myself. I got to believe that he knows me better than I know myself. I got to believe that he's the one who knows how everything comes together to make everything as everything should be. And then I can begin to trust him. So here's the thing, is focus your heart. Your heart is the first thing. It all starts with the heart. And so David was able to say in Psalm 27, verse 8, he says, my heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, O Lord, I will seek. Again, metaphor for saying, God, I'm just going to keep my eyes on you. I'm just going to keep my eyes. I want to know you more. I want to follow you more closely. I'm just going to be all about you, God. Now, this is the giant slayer. This is the dude, the king of Israel, who has all this cool stuff going on in his life. But he's saying, but here's the one thing I want to do. I want to just focus on you. Because in you, I'm going to find everything else. He wrote in Psalm 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Just get your focus on him and all this other stuff you're so worried about. He'll walk you into whatever really matters. Does that make sense? So he's saying, that's where you need to get your focus. And so he says it so beautifully and so clearly, or the writer of Psalm 119 does, when he says, Lord, direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. So he's saying, I want my heart to be trusting in you. I want to be following you with all my heart, because I trust that you have what's truly best for me. Y'all, that's a place most people never get. And God's saying, I want you there today. I want you to actually come there today. And so it's focusing your heart, but also your eyes on him. And your eyes, again, metaphor for your attention. So he then goes on and says in verse 37 of Psalm 119, he says, turn my eyes away from worthless things. And then he says, preserve my life according to your word. God, I want you to keep me free from all those traps. If I get my attention diverted and I get distracted, I'm going to go into paths that take away life, that bring me into financial bondage and relationship mess. And it's going to take me to places that are going to wreck my life. Preserve my life according to your word. I want to focus on you. Selfishly, I want to focus on you. Because God, I want you to direct my paths into the good stuff that you have for me. So Jesus said this, and everybody's troubled by it in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19, he says this. He says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. First time I heard that, I'm like, oh boy, God just don't want me to have anything. Yeah. All right, right. He says, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He said, don't let yourself be distracted by that stuff, because that stuff is going to take you into a place of bondage and mess. It's not going to be good. I promise you. Don't do it, because your heart's going to go there. And so he says, don't be distracted by it. Then he says, the eyes are the lamp of the body. He said, if your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And he's saying, look, your attention, your focus, if you turn your attention toward the stuff or the people, the worthless things, or toward the trivial things, or toward those less important things, what's going to happen is it's going to take you into darkness and you're going to be filled with darkness. Keep your eyes on him. He said, you can't serve two masters. Either you'll love the one and hate the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and mammon, stuff, junk. You can't. And then he says, so don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet I tell you that your heavenly Father feeds them, right? Are you not much more valuable than they? And who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? Look at the lilies of the field. See how the lilies of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. And yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was clothed like one of these. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Get what he's saying? He's saying, don't you trust God? Don't you trust him that if you'll seek him, he'll take care of that stuff? So he finishes by saying this. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. So do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Is that a beautiful picture? He said, get your eyes on him. Jesus is saying, look, focus your eyes on him. Focus your eyes, Jesus would say, even on me, Jesus. And he says, you get your focus right, and I will lead you in. All the other stuff I will lead you into. That is why we focus our hearts and our eyes on him. And so in the book of Hebrews, we're told, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let me just get focused on him, because he's the one that's got the path for me. And so selfishly, guys, if for no other reason, just because you don't want to miss his best for you, and you don't want to be in traps and mess, and don't want your attention diverted that take you in directions into destinations you never wanted to be, beg him, let me have my eyes fixed on you. Let me just keep my eyes on you, because if I'm with you, in you, I find everything. Don't you believe that he knows what stuff you need and what stuff you don't need? Anybody believe that? He knows. Like right now, he knows that my 1999 Honda Accord is exactly what I need. And thanks to Scott and Renee Cahill, I'm in it. No payments. It's awesome. My 99 Honda is exactly what I need right now. There was a time in our life when what we needed was a BMW, believe it or not. We got a BMW because somebody made that possible, and it saved my wife's life in an accident, I believe. And it's like, he knew we needed a BMW. But right now, I need a Honda Accord, 1999. It works. Right? And when we moved here, he moved us into a house that's way bigger and way nicer than I ever imagined, but don't even think I would ever need. And he said, no, you're going to need more than you think you're going to need. And at the same time, there was a time in my life when what we needed was a little mobile home out behind the church that had holes in the floor with wasps' nests and rats' nests. And it was what we needed. You know what I'm saying? It was what we needed. It was cool. Because here's the thing. It's God saying, can't you trust me? That I'm the one who knows what stuff is going to come a burden to you. What stuff is going to tie you into indebtedness or what's going to take your heart away from what really matters. And I know what stuff you really need and what stuff is really going to bring joy and delight to your life. Would you just keep your eyes on me and let me lead you to the stuff you need? And how about people? He's saying, don't you? I remember, oh God, I can't give my life to you because I have to give up all kinds of friends. He's the one who knows this reality. He knows those relationships are going to be sweet, and he knows those relationships that are going to be bitter as gall and sharp as a double-edged sword. He knows the relationships that will wreck you. Do you believe that? He knows the people that will mess up your life, and he knows the people that will bless your life. Can't you just trust him and say, God, what I want is to follow you and let you lead me into the relationships that are going to bring life and away from the relationships that bring death? Can you trust him in that? Do you know that he's the one who knows the substances you really need to be pain-free, and he knows the substances that will really keep you trapped in pain for the rest of your life? Can you trust him and just say, God, I trust you. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. He knows how he can use trivial things like social media to keep you connected with your family. And he knows how he can help to build relationships through some of that. He also knows when that can actually be a substitute for relationships and wreck your relationships. So trust him and say, God, I'm going to follow you in my use of this stuff. And that means it's going to be off a lot more than on. In the process. Guys, if you follow him, he'll lead you into duck blinds. Sometimes that's a cool place to be. My neighbor who I borrowed the duck call from, he and his son Noah, I'd see them pull out to go hunting, you know, and I'm going like, that's value, man. That's beautiful things, and God has that. And sometimes he'll lead you into golf courses or tennis courts. He'll lead you into places where, a matter of fact, if he's got purpose in it, he might lead you, as he has many, to places like the Baseball Hall of Fame or to like, quarterbacking for a national football championship. You know what I'm saying? But God's just saying, here's the thing. Can you trust me? Can you trust me that I know what actually is going to bring meaning to your life? And if you'll trust me, then what you need, I'll bring you into. And when it has value, you'll be there. This week, I was in a kayak with two other guys, and we paddled for about 3 hours in a kayak, and we were right in the middle of following Jesus. It was the most awesome time, and it was so important, and it was valuable for a bunch of reasons. For just relaxing and for fellowship, and it was just cool. But it was something God had. Just yesterday, I was on a Harley with my sons again, the second time in our lives we did that. It was so awesome. We had such a cool time. We went and visited these little churches that had been out, and like one of them, we sat in that church and I sang Amazing Grace, and I said, you know what is so cool? And it just reverberated in that church. I said, this is so cool because people in this church were singing that song. And then my son, who's smarter than me, and he's a history guy, he's reading the dates on the church. The church was built 70 years before Amazing Grace was written. I'm going like, that's cool. We stopped in and ate breakfast in Plantersville at this cool little gas station, and ended up being the most awesome breakfast ever. You got to stop there sometimes. It was awesome. And we shared time together. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. But y'all get this picture? God will lead you wherever it is to what actually brings value. Sometimes just because he loves you, he likes to see you smile. But instead of it being something that takes you away from him, it's something that just draws you to love him more because your focus is on him. Do you get that picture? And so Debbie calls his bike. I had a guy just looking at Debbie's bike and saw the Chapter 40 sticker on the front of it, which is our motorcycle club that she helped to start. And I was telling him stories about lives that have been eternally changed because God led Debbie to buy a Harley. You know? And so God's just saying to you, can you just trust me that I know what's going to bring value to your life and what's going to distract you, but if you'll keep your eyes on me, I'll take you into whatever it is. And I know the things that seem so important, and only by trusting me will you know when to say no to those. Like, for instance, I would have, in the past, never gone riding yesterday because my phone was blowing up with messages from people who needed something from me. And so I've got this long list of text messages, this long list of messages where people have called and said, hey, can we get together and I need this or I need that or what can we do? And I'm thinking, that's so important. They're so important. And I've got church coming on Sunday morning. I got to be ready for church. And I'm doing a wedding for you know, and that wedding is Saturday. I got to be ready for the wedding. I got all these important things. And God's going like, what? Those are important, but they aren't as important. Does it make sense? They aren't as important as a Harley ride to McClellanville. And that's where you're going today. And God's just saying, if you'll trust me, I'll guide you. But listen, guys, when you begin to trust him, and you may have done that a long time ago in your life, you may say, I'm going to trust him. I'm going to follow him. And here's the problem, is that you have to do this. You have to focus your heart and your eyes on him. How often from last week? How often? Every day. Can y'all say it again? Every day. Because here's the reality. It's honestly, if I don't keep my eyes focused on him, the very things he blesses me with will become distractions. The very things he brings into my life will become my focus. And pretty soon I'm focused on them, wanting them. And all God is a means to getting to the things that I'm now focused on. If I don't focus on him, the very people he brought into my life can become, for me, more important to me than him. And they become my source. And I mess up their lives by making them my source instead of him my source. And if I don't keep focused on him, those trivial things, instead of being a help to my relationship, can become a hindrance to my relationships and mess up my relationship with him. And those hobbies that he has blessed me to enjoy and love can become the focus of my attention, and they can actually detract me away from his purposes in my life. Does everybody get the picture? He's saying, you can lose it. That business he gave you can become your God. That career he gave you can become your magnificent obsession instead of him. And God's saying, I want you to keep your focus on me. And I will lead you, because in me you will find it all. In me you will find everything that you need. So listen, guys. Y'all, remember, how many people ever watched the movie Taken? Did you remember watch Taken? All right, so in Taken, you remember Liam Neeson is saying to his daughter who has been abducted. She's been abducted or about to be abducted, and he's on the phone with her and he says, Kimmy, focus. Focus, Kimmy. Why? Because her life's on the line. I just tune in. Focus. Focus. Because before God, your life is on the line. Before God it is. Because whatever has your attention, whatever has captured your attention, will determine your destination. Because attention determines direction, and direction determines destination. Whatever has captured your attention is taking you someplace. And it may be someplace you never intended to go. And God's saying to you right now, you got business to do today. You got business to do today where you say to him, I will, as Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, I will fix my eyes on you. As David said, he said, one thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Why? So I won't have any other life besides him? No, because I can have all of life through him. And God's saying, I want you to seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. I want you to get your focus on me and never take it off, because in me you'll find everything. Does that make sense to anybody? And God's saying, today's your day. Somebody here today is in this spot. Listen up. Somebody here today is in a spot where something captured your attention. And what captured your attention was God. One of our new partners in ministry here was at prayer on Thursday morning, and she said a profound thing. She said, you know, I realized after I came to God, which has only been a few months of coming to fully surrender to God, she said, I realized that all my life, he had been showing me his love. He had been drawing me to himself. And the truth is that right now, someone's captured your attention, and he's the one who created you, and all of a sudden your attention is on him. And it's captured because you didn't expect it. You didn't come here expecting your life to change. But God's saying today is going to change your life, because your attention is finally going to be on the one who is going to bring you life. And so right now, if that's you, I want you to know this beautiful truth, that it does not matter where your attention has been. It doesn't matter what paths you've traveled down. It does not matter how much you have ignored him, even despised him. It does not matter how many mistakes have been made that brought you to this moment. From this moment forward, he says, I've captured your attention. Now give it to me. Give your attention to me. give your life to me. Do you know that he gave his son to die for you? So that all that stuff could just be gone. He said, I've swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. You return to me. I've redeemed you. I've bought you back. I've made you my own. He says, I'll forgive your wickedness. I'll remember your sins no more. Jesus died for you so that you could have an opportunity today to put your attention and your focus on him. And in him, you're going to find all the stuff, all the people, all the things, all the experiences. You're going to find life in him. And so can you say to him right now, I repent. I turn away from every path that took me away from you. And I come today to say, I give you my attention. I give you my heart. Can you say that to him right now? I give you my heart. My heart says, if you seek his face, your face, Lord, I'll seek. I give you my heart. I want you to take this heart. I want you to take these eyes. I want to take this life. And I want you, Lord God. I seek you. Lord, I want to follow you. And so I'm yours, God. I give you my heart today. Turn my eyes away from worthless things and turn them towards you and take me into everything that matters. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to invite you who just prayed that prayer to come to the altar in just a minute and just kneel down and pray, but you're going to come along with a bunch of other people because there are a bunch of other people here like me who are just in a place where you go like, God, you know what? My attention has been on some things that doesn't need to be on. And I'm ready to come down here and say, God, from this day forward, I'm getting my attention back where it belongs on you.
Thanks again for listening to this podcast by Christ United. For more information, visit us at christislove.org.